Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man who's teaching small business how to embrace social media, the king of tweets.
Well, they have the internet on computers now. To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. And we got our good friend, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, back on the show. Bill is chief economist for National Federation of Independent Business, NFIB. He's professor of economics, formerly in charge of the whole business school over at Temple University in the great city of Philadelphia. And he's been a member of our Brain Trust for a long time, way over 10 years. And he's our good friend, Bill Dunkelberg. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
It's good to have you back.
Not sure I got all my brain with me, but I'm here.
Bill's work on behalf of small businesses, studying their attitudes about the economy as it sits, as they look at it right in any given time when he polls them once a month. His work is the gold standard, and in all other surveys of small business, wish they could be what Bill has accomplished over the last 4 decades, basically. And Bill, thanks again for allowing us to be part of your outlets of folks that you report with every month. The survey this month is for last month, I guess I should say, which is where this report's from. Wasn't good, was it?
No, it wasn't good at all. We had a pretty big decline in the optimism index, almost 2 points, and for the index, that's a big fall. It was the sixth month in a row that the index had weakened, but usually it was like, you know, by a tenth of a point or two-tenths. This time it went down by almost 2 points and went down to 88.1. Just to put it in perspective, the average over the last 30-some-odd years is around 100. And, of course, in good times, in a recovery, like, say, in 1983, 86 or 87, you know, you'd see readings are around 105, 106, 107.
We had 105 or 6 back in the last decade, didn't we?
We did, well, you know, for a short period of time.
Yeah.
That's good times when you get a number like that.
Yeah. Mostly when you get those kind of numbers, there's not a problem with sales, right?
Right. Or jobs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You got sales, then you hire people, and that's the basic equation that we have. You hire employees to take care of customers, but if there are no customers, then, of course, there's no reason to hire any workers. And so,
you know,
that's kind of the quandary we have.
Bill, the thing that concerns me about the last two cycles that we've had, the two up cycles and the subsequent down cycles, is it seems to me that both of them were based on something that was not real. We remember we were reporting on the late 90s when we had all of the dot-com that turned into the dot-bombs. You know, we had virtually full employment. We probably had overemployment in 97, 98, 99. You know, that wasn't real. That wasn't a real, that business opportunity was artificial, really. It wasn't substantial. Then we rolled out of that recession into a recovery, and then we had last decade we had another cycle up cycle that basically we now know wasn't all that real because it was driven by inflated real estate prices and et cetera, et cetera. Does that should we be concerned about this kind of? What do you think about my analysis of that? And should we be concerned?
Well, you know, we should be concerned about it to the extent that the policy that government followed was provocative rather than helpful in dealing with it. You know, so if you go back to after the dot-com crash, you know, the characterization we now have for that period is too low for too long for interest rates. And so whenever the government artificially manipulates prices of things, and interest rates are a very important price, distortions develop, you know, and if you do it for long enough, like we're doing now, keeping interest rates, you know, the federal funds rate near zero, You do it for too long, trillions of dollars get allocated incorrectly, and then when you finally have to face up to reality, then you know, you get all kinds of problems.
There's another common denominator in all that, Bill, and that is Wall Street. Wall Street funded the dot bombs when they shouldn't have. Wall Street funded the buildup in mortgage growth, the mortgage meltdown in the last decade. I mean, Wall Street and Washington, in my opinion, are the tag team that's been against Main Street for a long time now. What do you think? Am I wrong about that?
Well, they're good buddies. You know, a lot of my colleagues, you know, think that Goldman Sachs really runs Washington, and Rubin is still pulling the strings and telling people what to do down there.
Well, I'll tell you, I said this in when we opened the show this hour. We've got to fix that, Bill. We've got to stop this. I don't exactly know how to fix Wall Street. I know how to fix Washington. We do that with our votes, but maybe we do it with our votes and fix Washington, and then we fix Wall Street. I know that. I know this. Those two groups are not the friend of Main Street anymore. 20 till right back with Bill Dunkelberg after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.